Today on Real Radio.
Trials from God draw us closer to Him. Temptations from the world, Satan, or my flesh, what? Pulls us away from God. And here, if you have been a Christian longer than an hour and a half, you should be asking this question. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between the two. You're exactly right.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament letter penned by James, the brother of Jesus. The first chapter reveals much divine wisdom on how to handle the many darts that come our way as believers in God's Son, including temptation. How do we recognize temptation? What about tribulations and testing of our faith? Well, these are the issues pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in this look at verses 12 through 15 of James chapter 1 in this presentation called Why Am I Being Tempted?
Temptation is not the sin, it's yielding to it, and he's going to give us the mechanics. Why am I being tempted? There's a victorious condition for those who endure. When he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, we need to realize that there's a deep happiness that comes. And that's literally the word that's meant here, blessed. There's a happiness. He could have used the word joy, he didn't use it. He used the word happiness. You want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be happy? The Bible says that when you stand with Christ under the pressures of temptation, you're going to be happy. Now, is the Bible true or is it false? The Bible's true. Well, don't we all want happiness? Yeah. Well, are you being tempted? Oh, yeah. Then find God in the middle of your temptation. Let Him shore up your situation, endure through it, and you're going to be happy all the way through from start to finish. The thing is, we don't believe Him. We don't believe him. The devil is personal. Some 83% of the people of America polled by a Gallup poll several years ago said they're Christians. But only 40% of them believed that the devil was real. That means 40% of them were calling the Bible a liar. Did you know that? And Jesus a liar. So how can you be a Christian and say there's no real devil? Oh, there's a real devil. God says so. The devil's personal. He comes against us. What about our flesh? It's fallen. A lot of people say, you know, I think man is naturally good. Well, I've noticed people who say that. They've never had children. Our flesh is fallen. At best, it's sagging, isn't it? We have great intentions, but our flesh is fallen. And also the fact is, concerning who we are spiritual beings, if you want to recognize it or not. This body and the soul that does how we think and what we feel is truly real, but behind it all, there's the spirit that will live forever. We need to remember that. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is approved, or when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him. There is a happy condition. Jot these verses down, if you would. Concerning verse 12, people, let's rejoice. Let's take the Bible and get our brains washed with its truth. Right now, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and what? Endures all things. Does God love us? Okay, then because God loves us, will we be able to bear all things? Yes. Will we be able to endure all things? Yes. The Bible's made us that promise. Will we be able to hope through all things? Yes. When a person gives up on hope, when a person gives up on love, even a Christian, what are they doing? They're getting their eyes off of God. And they get swallowed up by the temptation that they have yielded to, and unfortunately, maybe even put a gun to their head and their depression. But that's not necessary, because God has given us the love. 1 Corinthians 13:7, He's given us the endurance. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking forward or having anticipation for the mercy of the Lord Jesus unto eternal life. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God. That means we have to work at it. We have to stand firm on it. Matthew 10, verse 22. By the way, when I give you these verses, do you jot them down like in your footnotes or anything like that? Do you? Good, because I'd hate to spend all a couple of days putting these verses together and you not write them down there in your little footnote. That's great that you write them down there in your footnote and in your notes. That's good. Matthew 10, 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. If that doesn't happen to you, it will soon enough. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Jack, does that mean if I endure to the end, I shall be saved? Technically in the word, it's because you're saved, you will endure to the end. Doesn't that make you feel better? Because I am saved, it's the nature of the Holy Spirit working within me to make sure I endure to the end. You don't have to leave here tonight saying, oh man, I've got to endure. I'm so stressed out, I got to endure. No, you don't. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, he's going to see to it that you endure. You just hang out with Jesus. Have you noticed how much trouble we get in when we don't hang out with Jesus? Man, that's a problem. Things are going great. Take our eyes off Jesus. Things aren't going so great anymore. It happens all the time. It's terrible. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice. Hello, honey. I'm home. I've lost my job. Let's put on a praise album and rejoice. Well, that's what we ought to do. Thank you, Jesus. I don't understand what we're going to eat and how we're going to make our house payment, but you told me to rejoice. So I'm going to sing you a happy song, Lord. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Jesus' sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. That's powerful stuff. Temptation, the whole thought of temptation is one of the most confusing things for the Christian to come to grips with. A little technical note here. You want to jot this down if you would. In James chapter 1, verse 2, we came across this word trials. Remember that? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The word trials there, and by the way, if you would just make note of it, it appears again in your Bible. It may have a different English word, but it is the same word. It appears in this verse 12, blessed is a man who endures temptation. Interesting. Same word. But here's what is very, very unique about those two words in verses 2 and verses 12. In the Greek, it's a noun. You see, well, so what? Well, in verses 13 and 14, they're no longer nouns. It appears again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away with his own desires and enticed. The word tempted there is not the noun form, but it appears twice as the verb. It is the verb form, totally different. We're all going to be tempted. And we all will be tempted by the verb form of temptation. But the interesting thing is the two that appear in verses 2 and 12, or for the refining of our faith, and these latter two in verses 13 and 14, are to draw us away from God. So jot this down if you would. Trials from God draw us closer to Him. Temptations from the world, Satan, or my flesh, what? Pulls us away from God. And here, if you have been a Christian longer than an hour and a half, you should be asking this question. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between the two. You're exactly right. And that's a tough thing, isn't it? That's hard. Here's the one way to cut to the chase and not worry about the definition or the source. This is so good. I love this. Is what I'm experiencing right now drawing me closer to Jesus Christ? Is it causing you to pick up your Bible? Listen, to pray, to seek counsel, to walk with Him, to check your slate, so to speak. Lord, have I sinned against you? Have I done something wrong? Lord, speak to me. That is a trial sent by God to build faith and endurance. It's a good thing. But if something's going on in your life and it's causing you to put your Bible away, are you ready for this? I don't care what it is. But she's so cute, Jack. I don't care who she is. Oh, he's so handsome. He loves the Lord. I don't care what his name is. But I really need it so I can drive faster on the freeway. No, is it drawing you further away? Listen, a temptation pulls you from your fellowship with Christ. It's like a leech. It pulls and pulls life out of you. And one of the great things is this. You experience a sense of condemnation. That's not a trial. It's a temptation from Satan to give up. And we need to remember this, because you know what happens to us the moment we get into one of these things. We don't remember this Saturday night, do we? We don't remember. And somebody's got to call you up and say, remember? We need to remember this. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Bible says, therefore, when you pray, Jesus says, pray this, our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. The word is, keep us away from the wicked one. That's what appears in verses 13 and 14. We'll look at that later. The next thing I want you to see in verse 12 concerning this victorious condition we have is that our faith is made genuine. It says here, for when he has been proved, that is us, when we have been proved. Now watch this. The word approved or proved tries the Christian. It tries us with the sense of exalting us. When we are tried by God, we will come out on the other side exalted through the test. This word that appears here is to become more brilliant. The word becomes to shine more or to become more valuable. The word also means to be displayed in such a way that you're very desired. It's what God wants to do. This is powerful. Are you being tried? Are you being tempted? Then listen, it's God's motive, it's God's will that when you come through the test, that you are approved. So he will test us, people, God will, to approve us. He never will launch us out on a course that will destroy us. What will Satan do? He's out there like the roadrunner trying to catch the, or no, who is it? The coyote trying to catch the roadrunner. He's painting fake signs. He's painting fake landscapes. He's painting fake dots on the road, lines on the road. He's creating all of this havoc to try to catch this poor little roadrunner. Well, that's what Satan does. He alters everything, the way you see things or the way it sounds, or he'll play with the way you hear things. Well, I thought they said this. No, he or she didn't say that. Oh, no, I'm sure they did. He twists things. That's why the Bible says that he's the prince of the power of the air. He loves to control this little domain. And he loves to get people what? Confused. The Bible says he's the author of confusion. Whenever you hear somebody say, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. You're under attack, friend. Because where God is, confusion is not. He brings clarity. He brings peace. He brings understanding that's of a divine origin. To be approved, God will put us through a test for our betterment. Satan desires to put us through a temptation to destroy us, to have us disapproved. It's important that we remember this. Why am I being tempted? Because it's the only way I can become more like Jesus. The final thing that we need to see here in verse 12 is that our course will eventually be rewarded. Why am I being tempted? How can I endure victoriously in the spot that I'm in? Because the course that we're on will eventually be rewarded. Have you ever ran in a long distance race? I haven't in about 30 years. But I used to really enjoy it. And I had some friends who were really great runners, and there were times when I would beat them, and most of the time they'd beat me, but there was times I'd beat them. And we could really run. And we were kind of insane. We'd run everywhere we'd go. We'd go to the beach, lay out our blanket, put up the radio, and run all day. We just loved to run. But you know what? If you've ever ran in a long-distance race or some sort of marathon of any sorts, one of the things after a while that you begin to long for, yea, even lust for, is the finish line. Your side begins to ache, your shoes are blowing out, your feet feel like they're about 150 degrees. And you're beginning at the point where, you know, you start to reach this wall that they talk about, and you're wondering, am I insane? Is this even me running? Who am I? You begin to kind of lose it. And it's a strange thing. And you know, maybe you feel like that right now. You're a Christian, you love God, but you know what? You don't think you can go another day. Well, you know what? Not only can you go another day, you can go another month. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Your problem, friend, is that you're looking at the race in your own strength. I'm so tired. Yes, you may be tired. I don't think I can go any further. You probably can't. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isaiah 40:31. Great promise. We need to reach the wall, and right when we begin to think, am I me? Who am I anyway? That's where we lose ourselves in Christ, and we find out who we really are. He says, hey, the coach, Jesus, he's got his hat on, run alongside, whistle, tons of water all around him. He's got these squirt bottles, Gatorade, this and that, and he's saying, you know what? When you're weak, I'm strong. When you can't run anymore, I'll run for you. Just when you think you're going to keel over, I'll take it from here. It's the way he works. He'll never let you fall, ever. Well, how come I fell down? Because you yielded to the temptation, because I yielded to the temptation. That's why I fell down. Here's the wonderful thing. We have a victorious, joyous position in enduring because we will receive the end of our course. And look what he says. We will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Man, that's great. Listen, the crown of life. This appears several places in Scripture, but one of them is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. You want to jot it down? It's a great thing to realize. It's a promise made by God. God says, you love me? And you know when God says, do you love me? Do you ever feel like a real goober? When you say, yes, I do. And don't you feel so unworthy to say that you love him? Or is it just me? It's just me? Well, let's move on then. I always feel when I tell him I love him that I don't even like to say the words to him. Because I feel like I'm doing an injustice when I mention the words. I don't love him enough. I love him all I can, but I'm deeply convicted of how little I do love him. And I'll say, Lord, I love you, and Lord, you know that I wish I could love you more. I think that's one of the joys that heaven will bring, is the desires of our heart he will completely fulfill. What is the desire of your heart? I know one of them for mine is that I could sing. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing. Everyone else is going to say, Lord, give me the desire of my heart. And they have earplugs walking around heaven. But I'm going to sing. And one of the desires of my heart is I want to be able to fly without an airplane. Last night, we watched Peter Pan, the cartoon. And I just was drooling over Pan on how he could do the things that he could do. I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. The desires of our hearts. One of them will be, Lord, I love you. And it will be sufficient. Somehow it will be full. It will come out as it is in the heart, out of the mouth, and it will be true. I love you. And he's going to go, yeah! Say it again. I love you, Lord! And he's going to, all right. It's going to be incredible. Well, to those who desire such things, He's made us a promise, and that is he'll give us the crown of life. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna," and I wanted to say that word Smyrna, that name, because that church had to die for their faith. "To the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things." And he goes on to say, "Do not fear any of those things which are you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days," speaking of 10 specific trials that came to Smyrna. "But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." The second death is spiritual separation from God. It's what every person who goes to hell experiences. Their first death is that their physical body stops functioning and they die. The second death is when God says, "Your name's not written in the book. I'm sorry." And your spirit is now condemned to an eternal death. And it is literally a living death. It never stops. And you say, "Well, I've never heard that like that before." Oh yeah, it's a mercy of God to be able to die. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there's going to be a period of time when people will seek death and will not be able to find it because of the horrible events on the face of the earth. People will try to commit suicide in the tribulation period, and they're going to like take a gun to their head, or they're going to jump off a building or throw themselves into the sea and be dashed against the shore. And the Bible says they will not be able to die. Can you imagine putting a shotgun to your face and not be able to die? Death will be removed from the earth in an act of judgment upon those who have rejected Christ. Can you imagine? Right now, death is a merciful thing. But to those who have never accepted Christ, death is the first step of a horrible process that leads them eventually to the second death. And the Bible says, Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, "Be faithful unto death. And when you die, I'm going to give you the crown of life."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study of James chapter 1 and verses 12 through 15. It's called, "Why Am I Being Tempted?" Part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been reminding you about the few openings left for our 2012 trip to Israel. Here's David Jay and Pastor Jack with more.
Pastor Jack, you and I have spent time together in the Holy Land. I got to tell you, it was life-changing for me, besides being a great time with a good friend. It was the Holy Land. It was you telling me about the Holy Land, which if you want to go to the Holy Land, you want to learn about the Holy Land, you want to have a lot of fun, you want to go with Pastor Jack Hibbs. That is my recommendation. Can you give me some info on what's going on?
Yeah, we have just a few seats left. And listen, as Davey was just saying, Israel will change your life. I'm telling you, your Bible will become technicolor. Whenever you read about, for example, Bethany, Jerusalem, the Valley of Elah, where David confronted Goliath, when we go to the Galilee, the Mount of Olives, all these locations, we get out of the bus, we get our feet in the dirt, and we open up our Bibles and we go through the scriptures. Here's the thing. We have a couple seats left open for our March 21st to April 2nd tour of 2012. It's March 21st. Imagine springtime in the Holy Land.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yep. The hills are velvet green. Mount Hermon is covered in snow, and the bananas and the oranges and all of it's in bloom.
Yeah.
But springtime, March 21st to April 2nd, with us in Israel, I promise you, your Bible will come alive. It is worth years, I would say, of going to Bible seminary because you're on the ground, Bible open, living it. It's unlike any other trip you can take.
Give me the dates again.
March 21st to April 2nd.
So give us a call if you'd like at 877-RR-RADIO or go to our website. That's realradioactive.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.